Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. I am Six Eyes, and I hope you're having a beautiful afternoon, morning, noon, or night, because we represent each of those time zones. How's everybody doing this afternoon? Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. How's everyone for this August 20th, 2023? How's everyone?
I'm doing thumbs up and toes up.
All right. Starting it off good. Okay. Next.
Amazing, I've got both awesome. Thumbs up and all my toes up.
Okay.
Is everybody complete?
Yep. We're complete.
All right. I am awesome. I am amazing. I am 10 fingers up, 10 toes up, and my crown is sitting where it's supposed to be. Amen. I'm complete.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, for myself, 2 thumbs up, and 4 trumpet, 4 paws up. So everybody is doing good. He has two paws and 2 feet. So 2 paws and 2 feet up for trumpet. He's doing good. He ate twice. So he's doing good. He's happy and he's asleep now. So we want to say continued prayers for the Maui. We want to pray for the victim's family. And our thoughts and prayers goes out to them at this difficult time for the loss of their loved ones. We want to also pray for the survivors and the rebuild of Maui. We also want to pray for Hurricane Hillary over there and California. We're praying for everybody over there. They are said to do evacuations over there. So we just want to pray for everybody over there, praying for mankind and the world. And once again, this is the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. And we're going to have Pastor Bonnet on first. So if you guys can check the phone lines and see if he's there, that'll be great.
Not as of yet.
Okay. All right.
So when he gets here, I will let you know. But go ahead, let's go ahead and do the opening prayer, and then we can do the scripture reading. You know, we'll proceed with the program as planned, and if he's still not here by then we'll start with the music.
Okay, sounds good. All right, let's get this show going.
All right.
Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus, and we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you touch this show, Lord Jesus. We ask you to take the wheel and have your perfect will, your perfect way, Lord Jesus. We ask you to first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God is raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, Lord Jesus, we ask a special blessing, do pray, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, no matter where they may be, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing, do pray, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for these people that are dealing with these tragedies in this different weather, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and help them in their time of crisis, Lord Jesus. Help them to and their families, comfort them as you only can, and protect them, Lord Jesus. Then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19 or any other disease, Lord Jesus, those that have lost someone due to COVID-19 or any other disease, Lord Jesus, we ask you to comfort them and touch them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then those dealing with some sort of disease, COVID-19 or whatever, We ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, as only you can. And then, Lord Jesus, for all these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you that you help us to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, and here we go with our scripture reading for the day.
And this is Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall set as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, and they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as former year, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift, shall be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In thy tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And this was Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor Bennett is here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonders. Welcome, sir, to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. God bless you and all of the Six Eyes Radio Network team members and listeners. God bless all of you.
God bless. God bless.
Amen. Well, that was a very precious song talking about a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's the light in darkness. That is who he is. He is our way out of no way. When we don't know what to do and how to do what it is that needs to be done, Jesus is our answer. He is the miracle worker. When the doctors all have given up, Jesus still is able to work a miracle. Amen, amen. It doesn't matter whether you had bills that was late. Jesus is a miracle worker. On the radio earlier this week, a woman got on the radio and testified about having two miracles working at the same time. Not only was she behind on her car note, it was about to be repossessed. She was also behind on her rent, and the Lord put on her heart to ask for prayer from one of her friends, and as they began to pray and believe God for direction on how to get out of that circumstance, God told the lady, ended up telling her, don't worry about a thing. I heard the Lord say, pay for it all. And she said, huh? And she said, the Lord said, pay for it all. And she said, matter of fact, give me your information right now. We're going to pay it now. And so here it is. She was preparing because she called a friend up for prayer, but to help her to pack her so she can find somewhere else to move to, thinking she was going to have to move back to a family house. But she was able to stay where she was. She was able to still get to work, all because she followed God's plan. God worked a miracle on her behalf. The old song used to say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Amen. God is still a miracle worker. He still blesses when we don't know what to do and how to do. He is still doing the things that we didn't think he would do. I'm a recipient of God working things out, because I've told y'all before in the past, there was 6 months in my life where God paid my mortgage. Amen. And to this day, I can't tell you the company that paid it, because I don't know. All I know is when I went to pay it, they said, it's already paid. When I went to pay it again, they said, it's already paid for 6 straight months.
Wow.
My mortgage was paid. Glory to God. And all I could do was just tell God, thank you. And there's something about Matthew 6 and 33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're going through a trying time in my life. It was at beginning of me launching out ministry. And at that same time, the company I was working for had did a cutback majorly, cutting my salary down $10,000. And that may not seem like a lot to somebody, but when you was just making it barely, they would say, if you just doing enough that to take care of everything that you had, and then they take something to that. And anybody know anything about ministry? When you start a ministry, you need money, because you can't count on everybody doing their share portion to help make that ministry grow. And so I was paying the ministry bills out of my pocket. And so when that happened, I had a decision to make: take care of mine or take care of the Lord's. And I said, well, this didn't catch God off balance, so he knew this was going to happen. So I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to keep taking care of God's stuff. I'm going to let him take care of mine. And just as I did that, God opened up a door that we didn't see. God made a way that we didn't see. And so as I had a lunch program for the kids that I had to pay for out of my pocket, doing that summer, God made sure I was able to continue that program all summer long. And then when I needed what I needed, God paid it all in full and took care of it. Every little bit of it. And so I am a witness that God is a miracle worker. He know how to bless you when you don't see which way to be blessed. But give me things that I need, that I desire. I love to wear suits. I can't tell you when I purchased a suit last, but I had the latest suit. If you look at my clothes, You don't know that God gave them to me. And I didn't have to take none of them to the teller. They were fit already, just like they were designed just for me. Given to me. Given. Tailor-made suits, top-of-the-line suits. Given to me just the other day, yesterday. Somebody said, what size are you? Brought me 4 brand new pairs of pants. Say, hey, here's something for you to work in. I said, man, these are some casual pants. They gave them to me just to work in. Look at God. He'll do it. Why am I saying all of this? I'm saying this for somebody that's listening. Maybe you're going through some challenges in your life. I want you to know, just stay committed to the process that God have you in. If you're a tither, trust God with that tithe. Trust God with your offering. Be committed in your local ministry. Stay faithful. Do what you're able to do. Then as you go to God in prayer, ask God, now what's next? If you stay faithful to God, God is going to always be faithful to you. Amen. Even when we were unfaithful, his faithful love for us superseded everything. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, because when we were unworthy, Christ yet died for us. But, Lord, I thank you for always being a way maker. That's what he do. He does it. He does it. We go through challenges in life. I just feel a spirit of testimony. We go through challenges in life. Building a business is not very easy because you got to get up if nobody else get up. When you're trying to build your own, establish your own, you ain't no fan in the bed. Ain't no calling in sick. Because if you don't go to work, there's no money. Amen, somebody. And God will give you the strength to get up. God will give you the strength to set out to do what you want to do, what you have to do. And as you're building, things happen sometimes. Equipment fail. This happened, that happened. And sometimes you get caught, as they say, between a rock and a hard place. And you say, well, Lord, you gave me this business. Now I'm just trying to do what's right and what's fair. But this is happening, that's happening. And God will send you to the right cell. He'll send you to the right avenue. He'll connect you with the right people. Sometimes customers just out the blue say, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? And money that you didn't think you was planned for you to have, here it is. All of a sudden, now you have extra on the table. Why? Because you just obey God. You trusted God plan for your life. Amen. Excellence in service is about us doing what we're able to do. Not just doing what we barely can do, but doing what we're able to do. Looking for opportunities to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Amen, somebody. Excellent in service. Learning how to grow and develop where we are.
Amen.
Amen. None of us started, many of us, I should say, let me rephrase that, many of us was not born with the silver spoon in our mouths, as the phrase would go. Many of us had challenges in our growth and our upbringing. All of us didn't come from prominent homes where everything was provided and needed, and we didn't have to worry about this and that. Some of us had some challenges where we had to learn to trust God. But just like you trusted God back then, you need to still trust God right here and right now. Just say to yourself, say, self, we're going to keep on trusting God. Self, we're going to keep on trusting God. It may not be what I think it should be right now, but I'm going to keep on trusting God. I'm going to do the possible, and I'm going to let God work on me and help develop me so that I can do better in what he has given me to do. Work in progress. I like that. I like that old Steve Harvey said after his acceptance of Jesus Christ, he started getting this invitation to this Christian event, this invitation to another Christian event, and he one time told him, he said now y'all know I just got in. He said and I don't want y'all to judge me if I let a word or so slip out that y'all don't hear in the church. Hey, please be patient with me. God ain't through with me yet. And sometimes we have to remember that God is not through with us yet. He's still working on us. Amen. Even us that have been in the church 30 years, he's still working on us. Amen. I don't care how long you've been in the church. Please let God continue to work on you. Yes, I've been saved a long time now. I've been preaching the gospel a long time now. Yes, I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. But please be patient with me. He's not through with me yet. Amen. That means there's some things I can still learn to do. There's some things that I still need to overcome. There's some things that God is working on me. And when I accept that fact that I ain't got it all together, broken English, I do not have it all together. When I accept that fact, that God still has work to do in me, then I will be sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit as he's talking me through this life obstacles, as he's helping me to be all that God purposed for my life. He wants to do it, not just for me, not just for the preacher, but he wants to do it for you. oftentimes we look at the preacher and think it's the preacher's job to do this, that, and the other. But Jesus told him, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Because so many people look at church and think it's somebody else's responsibility to bring new people into church, bring new people into Christianity. When Jesus himself said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I commanded you. That's the Great Commission. That is the message to the body of Christ. And unless we adapt that as our primary focus for living, for being, then we going to always be a C mentality when God want us to be A pluses. Amen, somebody. We have to Amen. Do better because we can do better. We have to do better because we, and many times, we know better. You know you done something before, and you said you did it like old Orca used to say, then I ain't do what. You know you did it. The easiest thing to do and the hardest thing to do is simple. I'm sorry. My apologies. I'll do better next time. And then do better. But what we do sometimes, we say, well, they just have to accept that's just how I is. I was raised this way. This, I can't help that. You know, I'm a statutory. I'm this, I'm that. And start calling out your birth sign. We forget, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So your birth sign is not your sign no more. If any man will come after Christ, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. You got a new sign. That's the cross you must bear as a born-again believer. Amen. 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 All month long, we're dealing with the spirit of excellence. We're dealing with having an excellent spirit. On today, if I can do my very best to try to break down this developing an excellent spirit, hopefully the example today that I give you will be one that you may be able to relate to. On Monday night, last Monday, we had technical difficulties, and I was kind of wanted to jump back onto that, but I must share this part because this is what I believe the Lord has given me for the now. And so, developing an excellent spirit, so many things that God just really dropped in my spirit, and so I'm going to try not to give you a grand buffet, but I'm going to give you a full course meal. So let's start here today. Again, my title today is Developing an Excellent Spirit. It is simple. None of us came out running, and none of us came out already able to talk. None of us came out already full of wisdom for the ages. We all had to learn how to scoop. You know, that's the little motion you make before you crawl, the little rocking back and forth. We all had to learn how to first stand. That's the action that you take before you start walking. And we all had to learn how to jog a little bit, because if you didn't have good balance, if you tried to run, you would simply fall. We all had to learn how to speak. We had to learn mama, daddy. We had to learn yes, no. It's amazing. You had to teach your children to say yes, but you didn't have to teach them to say no. They heard somebody say it and they picked it up real good. My Lord, help today. There's certain things you don't have to teach a child. They see it one time. It's in them. But the other good things you have to teach them. You have to develop it in them. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the process of development must also be applied to our Christian faith. The process of developing is something that we must have a desire inwardly to do. You cannot have the satisfaction of, well, I'm saved now, I ain't got to do nothing, I'm going to heaven. Then I can almost question your salvation if that's your attitude. But Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you will have love one to another. I'm so glad that it was written that way, because we tell people, well, I love you in my heart, but then we don't do nothing for them. But that scripture gives us the understanding that my love must manifest itself in a tangible way. And that tangible don't have to be with finances, but it can be in time. It can be in prayer. But it must be something that can be gauged and seen by the person receiving it. And so we must learn to develop that. That don't happen all the time instantly. We must learn to develop it. We all come from so many different backgrounds, and we all have so many different challenges. So we must learn to develop that spirit of excellence. Now, we know that in Daniel 6 and 3, we see that a spirit of excellence was found in Daniel. And that's what we're going to keep building on all this month, building on it being found in us, it being seen in us. Amen, somebody. So somebody must see your worth, your wealth. They must see your love. They must see your kindness. So knowing when it's time to work, knowing when it's time to work. Jesus was a devoted son, and although he might have been ready to start his ministry, y'all know the story, Jesus went to be baptized by John the Baptist. We call him John the Baptist because he was baptizing. But Jesus went to be baptized with him. It was very important for Jesus to start his earthly ministry in a visible way. But the Bible said that after he had been baptized, that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. I mean, that it gracefully fell upon him in full. He wasn't given just a portion, but he was given full measure of the Holy Spirit, full use of him. And that full use of the Holy Spirit led him in to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights as he fasted and prayed. And so in his journey, he finished that task as he overcome those three trials that all of us at some point in our life and many points of our life, we will face these one of these three trials. And they are the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Every sin hinges upon these three avenues. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And after Jesus had passed his test, The Bible says that the angels ministered unto him. That word ministry is finding a need and meeting it. And so they met his need. In other words, he was nurtured. He was strengthened. He was rebuilt. But in his family, someone was getting married, and there was a marriage celebration taking place that he was a part of. He was invited to be part of it. And in this celebration, we find that custom was in the beginning of the ceremony, you would give people the best of your drinking. You would give them the good wine, the more costly stuff. But as you saw people getting, if the word would be tipsy, start succumbing to the wine, then you would break out the very cheap wine so that they can continue to celebrate how they wanted to. But it wasn't going to cost you a whole lot. But it got to the point where that the wine ran out. Most of us know this story. Jesus turned water into wine. And so we see here Jesus is approached by his mother. His mother approaches him, and she says to him, they have no more wine. Now, this was big because it was customary for them to provide enough for the guest that was going to be there to enjoy their celebration. And so for the guest to run out of the wine was an embarrassment to the family. It brought shame. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I can kind of feel Jesus. It ain't mine. With, you know, I wasn't the one that was supposed to prepare. This was somebody else's preparation. They should have brought enough. And sometimes, you know, we get that type of emotion when
that's
somebody
right.
say, well, you know, I'm short. And you're like, okay, well, I'm short too.
Yeah.
What that got to do with me?
Come on, Pastor.
And so you can
come
kind of imagine how this situation was when Jesus is being told they short right now. They done ran. They ain't short. They done ran completely out. And most of us would have thought that this was a not so popular phrase for a son to say to his mother. What that got to do with me? It ain't my time to shine yet. Because he was focusing on the mission and why he came to earth. His assignment was to restore Israel, to fulfill prophecy, to make available salvation for all. So he had a different mindset. But as we know from age 12 to now, he's 30, there was no mention of him because it wasn't his time. And so here in this celebration, still saying, it's not my time. And oftentimes, ministry for us unfolds that way, where we feel it's not my time yet. Where we feel, well, you know, that's for somebody else to do. That's for somebody else to worry about. And we see this clearly in the text. And the truth of the matter is, if he had done nothing, say our standpoint, he done nothing wrong, or would have done nothing wrong. If he would have just said, oh, well, I guess this party's going to be over, he done nothing wrong. Because the preparation wasn't his obligation. But he saw a need. His mother saw a need. She pointed it out to him. She knew within him was the ability to meet the need. I love what his mother did, and that's what we have to understand. I may not be able to meet your need, but if I can get you to listen to the one who can meet the need of everyone, if I can point you to the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, if I could just point you in the right direction, Lord have mercy. Notice what his mother tells them after he made this sly remark. She tells the servant, whatever he tells you to do, do. She didn't go back and forth with it. She understood that not only was he come to save the whole world, but because of the way he came, she knew that her son was going to honor her. And that's what we pick up at. The scripture that says, honor your parents. A lot of times we don't understand that that's where the beginning of all true understanding and development takes place, is when a child listens, obeys, and follows through with their troubles in our world today, is because parents have now stopped parenting. And so the children are left to their own devices. They are left to the elements of this world because they don't have proper guidance, proper leadership. But somewhere, and as you read it in Proverbs chapter 1, you can find there in Proverbs chapter 1, you can see there it said in verse 7, the fear of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the all-sufficient one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, not the end, not even the middle. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. One of the things that moving prayer out the school system is, it removed the beginning of knowledge. It removed the beginning of proper understanding of what it is to love your neighbor as yourself. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But, always a but. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wow. What is the definition of a fool? A definition of a fool is one that ignores valuable information that is made available, already available. So a fool is one that ignored the instructions. So, but a fool despises wisdom and instructions. My son, hear the instructions. I want to say to all the men out there, sisters, you can be included in this. But hear, that means pay attention. pay attention with the desire to follow through. You know, when your parents were giving you instructions of what to go to the store and to get, and they say, "Are you listening to me?" And you say, "Yeah," and you looking off somewhere, they say, "You don't hear me." So my son, hear the instructions of thy father. Man, here's a direct responsibility of your fatherhood, is to instruct your sons and daughters.
Uh-huh.
Hear the instruction. That means present it to them. Don't give them open-ended opportunities that can lead them astray, but give them sound instruction. Give them instructions on what they are to be and who they are to be. This foolishness now that tells these kids that you got to listen to your parents when they tell you what time to go to bed and what you can listen to and what you can't listen to. But then they same sister want to tell the children, if you are born a male, you can decide you can be a female. That's not the instructions of a father. And if any parent tell their child you can change your gender, you are a heretic. And before I take it back, I add more to it.
Come on now.
It makes no sense for you to tell a child they can change their gender. No. The instructions of a father to his child is to be all that God wants you to be. To become all that God wants you to become. Development is a part of life growth system, both physical and spiritual. So my sons, hear the instructions of not just any father, your father. Pay attention to your own daddy. Stop listening to Puff Daddy. Listen to your daddy, Puff Daddy. It ain't directed at you. There's anyone just like you. Stop letting other people direct your children, fathers. That means you need to be present. Now, I know they done grown up now, and you say, well, it's too late. No, it's never too late for you to be a positive role in the life of your children. But they've grown now. I got instructions. My mama, I'm 50 plus. My mama still tells me, serve the Lord strong. Remember you belong to God. So, my son, hear the instructions of thy father. Women, the scripture didn't leave you out. I know you was holding your breath, but for those of you that read ahead, you see it right there, and forsake not. Now, this is where we get deep at. The law of thy mother. Wait a minute. Father's giving instruction, mama giving a law. Ain't that some type of backwards order? No. Because your mother is in authority over you, but she's under authority. She's under the authority of her husband, which empowers her authority. See, we get caught up in so many other things till we don't understand how to keep things in its proper perspective. There was a plan for the family unit. God showed us that the head of every woman is the man. And the head of every man is Christ. Christ gave us the full example that he said, I must do the will of him that sent me. That's the Father. In other words, he had a will himself. He had a desire himself. He said, but although I can do this and that, I must follow through with what his will is for my life. So when he said Christ is greater than me, he wasn't saying, when Christ said that the Father is greater than me, thank you, Holy Spirit. When Christ said that the Father is greater, he didn't use a term that meant better. So, sisters, we're not saying that you're not as equally valuable as another man, as human being. We're talking about authority dealing with headship. We all are precious in the eyesight of God, but just like the Trinity, the Godhead has an order, so does the family unit, which is the plan of God for all mankind. Now, to those of you that's going to make it to the millennial reign of Christ, you're going to see that in full operation, but that's another sermon. So tell the Father to give instructions. That's guidance. That's oversight. Oversight comes from foresight. You're to speak things to be. Now the law comes from the mother who's under authority of her head. She's under that authority. And the scripture says, forsake not the law of their mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. We see grace in the Old Testament. So grace is not something that just throwed up. He says here, for they shall be an ornament. An ornament is like when jewelry. Some jewelry have symbols, they designs or something that other people can look and see something added to you. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. See, when we follow the instructions of our Father, and forsake not the law of our mother, then what will be seen in me, even over my head, is something called grace, but it's something to be looked upon. It's something to be admired. And so not just one thing, chains about thy neck. Wow. So that means favor will be in my life. You look at some people and you say, man, seem like they just get this, they get that, their parents doing this, their parents doing that. Favor. And many times it's because they had received instructions, they followed the instructions, and they didn't forsake the law. Now, laws, let's deal with law. Laws are created and established by the government, and it holds everyone to the same standard. You know, like gravity, what goes up must come down. You know, it's not independent of no matter your age, color, race, financial wherewithal, jump off the roof, you're coming down to the ground. Mm-hmm. Especially if you ain't got no bungee cord, no rope, no parachute. Jump if you want to. gravity going to bring you to the bottom. I often used to tell them in the warehouse when something would fall, I said, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out. My friend going to catch it. I said, huh? The ground. He don't miss nothing. So the laws are created to establish. Laws are created and established by a government, which is an organized group, amen, and holds everyone to the same standard. To the same standard. So we're not dealing with exceptions to no rule. You know, every now and then you can be speeding and the officer can pull you over because it's a strictly enforced, but you were going 6 miles over, pulled you over. He may run your license, see that you ain't had no tickets in the past 2 years or whatever on your license, and say, listen, we're just going to give you a courtesy today. I want you to slow down. This is a pedestrian area. Kids be in this area. Please just slow down. Now he had every right to write you a ticket, a citation, because you violated the standard. But grace, because when he came there, you was, yes, sir, officer. How you doing, officer? You were respectful because your daddy taught you how to talk to another man. You were respectful because you didn't forsake the laws where your parents said always be on your best behavior. So you didn't act the fool. What you pulling me over for? I'm late, blah, blah. You didn't do all of that. Do you know who I – no, you didn't do none of that. So grace found you. Now you deserve the speeding ticket because your behavior changed your atmosphere because everything else was in order. It allowed favor to fall upon you. I had it happen. True story. Our first church building that we had, I had put the lawnmower in the back of my 300. So it was back there, folded up, sticking out. And I was trying to get there by a certain time. And so I stepped on the gas pedal. I was gone, true enough. And I had just hit that gas. And I don't know if you know anything about them 300s. You can't be stepping on the gas pedal and don't think that thing will shoot off.
That him.
And true enough, that thing shot off, and I was gone. I saw them lights hit quick. And I pulled over quick. I didn't make him follow me for the next half a mile. I pulled over quick, and he came up. How you doing, officer? I had the windows rolled down, my hand sitting on the steering wheel. Good evening, officer. How you doing? He said, you know why I pulled you over? I said, well, I can guess why. He said, where you in a hurry to? I said, man, I'm just trying to get here to the church so I can cut this yard before it get too late. And he looked back there, he saw the lawnmower, and he said, give me a second. After he had got my ID and my insurance card, because I wasn't riding dirty, amen. He came back. He said, Pastor, just take it easy. He said, get there safe. Have a great day. Saved me some points on my license. He saved me some time down at the courthouse. He saved me some finances from going to where it was needed to going to another system. All because I didn't forsake the law taught by my mother, and I followed the instructions of a father that taught me to respect another man and not look down on him. I didn't tell him I'm pastor this, that, and the other. None of that, because I don't mean nothing. You break the law, you're subject to the penalties thereof. And so favor, settlement. I thank God for it. Slow down, sure did. So that law is there for a reason. So laws is a system of rules.
Uh-huh.
A system of rules, particularly in a country, a community that recognize and regulate the actions of its members and which is or which it may enforce by impositions of penalties. Those impositions of penalties are penalties that are uncomfortable. The law said if you're speeding, they can give you a ticket. And the uncomfortable part of it is you got to go down there and spend time away from doing whatever it is you wanted to do to resolve that issue. Otherwise, and if you didn't do it, then you'll be driving is not a right. It's a privilege. Driving is not a right. It's a privilege. And so a lot of times we get caught up. And we think that everything we have a right to do. And we don't realize the privileges that have been given to us because of other sacrifices that have been made for us. So, Ephesians chapter, verse 1 through 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, let me break that down to a church metaphor. If the pastor is the father, headship, then we're headship. And the members are the children. Children, obey your parents. Here's why that's important. There's a universal law, whether you believe it's biblical or not. Almost every religion acknowledges it. You reap what you sow. It's amazing how sometimes parents say to their children, one day you're going to have kids. And you're going to understand what I'm trying to tell you right now. And when they start doing what you're doing right now, don't come to me crying. There's a system behind this thing. So, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When we as born-again believers are following the system of God, number one, we should want to be right. Not presumed to be right. We want to be right. Not assumption of righteousness, but actual righteousness. So honor your father and mother. Honor that leadership. Don't just honor father. Don't just obey mama. Honor them both. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first command with promise. Have you ever read the Ten Commandments? Business 6, I know you know this. If you read the Ten Commandments, all of them read what to do. This is what the Lord say do. This is what you do. There's one out of ten. Correct me if I'm wrong. Only one of them have a clause in it that if you do it, this is what's going to happen. Now, we got other regulations and all that, but out of ten commandments.
Yep.
Which is the first commandment with promise. That means if you are obedient to leadership, You're under a pastor. You're under someone whose headship, who's responsible. And you obey them in the Lord. Not in the, we ain't talking about the flesh. In the Lord. We ain't talking about them telling you to do nothing wrong, but giving you instruction in the growth and development of the kingdom of God. He said, there's a promise. There's a promise with this. Believe it or not, because it's a promise, that means you can hold God to it. Oh, wow. If it's a promise, that means you can hold God to it. That's why he says, put me in remembrance of my own word. Is God short of memory? No. But he wants you to know what benefits you can demand when you follow his principles, when you follow his instructions. Now, this is one with promise. So, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. Your safetiness comes from obeying your parents. I remember one time telling my eldest son something in particular. I had bought him a brand new one of them BMX bikes with the little spokes on, the thick spokes where they can ride the back wheel and do all that tricks
wheel.
With it and all that stuff. And so he was enjoying that bike, and he had him saved up a little money, and he wanted to buy this particular CD. And I said to him, I said, nah, I ain't gonna let you buy no CDs of the world. You need to be buying stuff that's gonna be godly and that's gonna be wholesome, you know. And I said, who is this artist? And he told me her name. And I said, you sure? This is a good artist. And I say, well, if this is a good artist, then you can go on and get it. But if this ain't, then I'm going to let God deal with you because I done told you no. I promise you. And he'll tell it. I'll call him up, put him on the line, let him testify to you. As he was going, you know, you riding by, so you can often get one flat tire. But some kind of way, and he don't know to this day, he had two flat tires.
Wow.
He said it happened as he was going to get it, and when I told him and gave him instructions, he said he knew just to let it go. But since I said that I wasn't going to go with him, that I'm a trusting. He said, the Lord had put it on him not to get it. But because he was heading that way, he was coming back home. I said, boy, why you walking your bicycle? He said, both of my tires are flat. I said, what? He said, yeah, both of them are flat. I said, boy. I said, well, at least I guess you get to just go in there and enjoy your music. He said, I didn't need to make it there. He said, I was so upset. He said, ain't no sense of going to get it. And later on, found out who the artist was, this, that, and the other, all that. We ain't going to put a name on blast or nothing like that. But it's so important for us to follow instructions. Because sometimes the instructions are the thing that boosts us and propel us. I remember moving to Memphis, and the ministry that I joined here up under Bishop Brandon Porter, He was superintendent at the time. I told him I really wasn't looking for no position. I just want, as a minister, I just want to be able to come in and see what's needed and help where I can. But they didn't have to give me no title. And before I knew it, within a few months, I was appointed as the jurisdictional, or not jurisdictional, excuse me, the district president of evangelism. And while I had that appointment during those assignments, I later became the chief engineer of sound for the ministry. And so I was responsible for the sound in the church, recording, reproducing the recordings, selling those particular products to memberships and those that were called into the station or whatever. And so that became a thing. But the ministry was growing and developing. And at one time, we was in three locations, the ministry itself. And then I still had those duties with the jurisdiction and with the district, excuse me. And I was telling him, Pastor, I can't vacation. I said, because I got this with the district and I got that. I said, I'm trying to keep up. And I said, so let me train somebody. And it was certain people that he was saying, nah, you make sure my stuff right. You make sure. I said, but Pastor, it's hard to do this. He said, man. I said, Pastor, how can I? And I was almost, you know, I was in my feelings. I was saying how hard and how difficult it was. I was in my feelings. And he told me, you make a way. And I was very upset, very confused, very aggravated by that statement. Thought I was doing a responsible thing by saying, this too much. I can't handle it all. And I was looking for him to compromise the delegated obligations I had. But he tells me, make it over. In my mind, I ain't Jesus. I have to make a way out when I don't even see a way. But I had a motto of I make ministry happen. And so when he demanded upon me to make a way, I turned to God and began to pray. This for somebody. I said, God, this is the leader. I went to him and he told me this. He's a man of God. I know he loves you. I know I'm at the right place. But how can I do? And the word sacrifice came to my heart. And that word sacrifice made me give up my time. Time that I would do things for me and give that time over to the ministry to do the work of the Lord, to study more, to learn more. And that thing allowed me to go on and train several students who went to school and was able to excel from it, build a career from it. They made money in it. I had other professionals that would come in to our to our meeting and say, man, where you went to school? I said, I didn't. They said, you ain't go to school? I said, no. I picked up the book and read it for myself and asked God. Man. And then when they found out other things I was doing, they said, how you do all that? I said, the truth of the matter is I don't know. I'm just doing it. I'm doing the best I can, how I can, and when I can. But I was able to manage what I thought that was unmanageable because I had a leader that wouldn't let me settle for mediocrity. I had a leader that pushed me beyond my limits. And that's why it's important for fathers to be fathers to their sons. It's your best friend. But to give them instruction in godliness. Because after all, every earthly father actually represents the heavenly father. And it's so important for us as men of God to be that example of righteousness to our sons and daughters. So, developing an excellent spirit comes from following leadership, for understanding the importance of being under leadership, respecting the role of leadership. I give you this last one. It's not in my notes, but it's in my head here. There was a centurion who had some members of his household of sick. And this centurion had heard of the exploits of Jesus Christ. He sent word for Jesus to come heal his servant. And because Jesus felt, okay, I'm going to acquiesce to the request, he began to head towards the centurion's home. The centurion sends back message, I am not worthy for you to really come under my roof. I'm not worthy. Nevertheless, me as a man of authority and under authority, I know when I tell my servants to do this, they go and do it. And when I am told of my leader to do, that's what I do. He says, speak the words only, and I know my servants will be made, will be healed. Jesus stopped in amazement. Now, this centurion was of the Roman Empire, up wow. under that regime, under that leadership. Jesus commented, not in all of Israel have I seen faith like this. Because he's understanding that being in authority means you're under authority. And when you're under authority, the greatest strength is you fulfilling the obligation of what that authority does. Well, the authority of Christ was to open blinded eyes, to set the captives free. The authority of Christ was to do the will of the Father. The authority of Christ was to save souls. And if we can understand the authority of Christ, we being under Christ, we will be able to change our environment.
That's right. That's right.
Because
all
we will operate with that authority that says that He says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover.
That's right.
That's what the book said. And if God said it, that settles it. It's up to me to begin to fulfill what he said I can do. It's up to me to begin to live the way he says I can live. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more, not less, more abundantly. This is not a prosperity gospel, but this is a gospel that has included in it prosperity. More, he said, our God is a God of abundance. But it's not all about you having things, but it's about you being able to utilize the things for the growth and development of God's kingdom. So we must be kingdom-minded. In order to receive a spirit of excellence, to know how to be about our Father's business. In order for spirit excellence to be upon us, we must strive daily to be pleasing to him. Not trying to rely on grace. Because the Holy Spirit has come upon us and lives and dwells within us that we can be holy. The scripture tells us to be holy. For our Father in heaven is also holy. And if we understand that, we understand that when they look at us, they being the world, they don't know God. They can't see God. So we must demonstrate who God is by our actions, by our speech, by the life that we live before other people. I am a child of God. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or even think. I realize my ways are not his ways, nor my thoughts his, so I must surrender my will. That's where we get it in the prayer. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Thank God for the Garden of Gethsemane when we saw Jesus praying that prayer. Lord, if this cup can pass me by, let it. But nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. There's some things in life sometimes we just don't want to do. There's some troubles in our life that sometimes we just don't want to go through. But when we understand that it is for our greater good and God's greatest gain in the world, it's nevertheless not as I will, Lord, but your will be done in my life. My life is not my own. To you I belong. So I give myself away to you, Lord, that you can use me like you made me. Use me for your glory. I am available for you. And sometimes we make ourselves available for other things, and we put God on a back burner. And some of us have even taken him off the stove. But it's now time for us to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Do you know Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That means there's coming a day when you will meet a natural death if God continue to tarry. That means the rapture don't come. The Bible says it's appointed to man to die once, and after death, the judgment. That means the day we die in the natural, we wake up in the supernatural, we wake up in eternity, and the way we went to sleep will be the way we wake up. So if you wake up, if you went to sleep as a sinner, you wake up a sinner. But if you went to sleep covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are redeemed. So you went to sleep as a redeemed citizen. So you'll wake up as a redeemed citizen. When the rapture takes place, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive, in a moment, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, they shall be caught up to meet you in the air. Don't allow your soul to be condemned to eternal damnation, eternally separated from God the Father. And whatever you may think of hell today, that hell today at the great white throne judgment, it shall be cast into the lake of fire. That means it shall be eternally separated by fire away from everything in existence and throughout all eternity, and there will be no escape. Now is the time for salvation. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You can't serve both God and man, money, or anything else. It's only through Christ that you can receive eternal life. I don't care how good you are, your good deeds are not good enough to redeem your soul, because your good deeds are not perfect. If God can't get the glory, there's no perfection truly in it. I love you with the love of Christ. Until the next time, to the appointed time when we can come together again, may he keep you in the center of his will. Look forward to seeing those of you that are able to join us tomorrow night on Motivation Monday. God bless.
Amen. Thank you for that wonderful message, Pastor Bonnet, as always. Here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, bringing you a powerful message, our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Make sure you support him. Give a love offering. Give a love offering. That's $ Pastor Bob. So give a donation for him. We definitely appreciate you here at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen. $ Pastor Bonnet. And that's PASTORBONNETT. All lowercase. And I come up Kenneth Bonnet, True Word of Faith. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
Brother right. Six, with the message today, my kind of takeaway kind of also reminds us of an offering we were going to take up. He was talking about giving your life to the Lord, and our scripture reading even ties into that, where he was talking about, you know, the miracles and stuff, and he, in the scripture reading, talking about Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and talking about tithing, and he was talking about the miracles that God did for him with his lawn business and that kind of thing. And it kind of reminded us of the young man that I interviewed about his lawn care business here in Ashtabula, the young man that's 13. So you want to take it from there, or do you want me to do it?
You go right ahead. I thought he was 14.
No, he's actually 13. Okay, he's a young man named Ian Nash. He's a young man who has decided to dedicate himself. He does a little lawn care business here in Ashtabula, Ohio. We recently recorded a commercial that will be appearing here on the Six Eyes Radio Network very shortly. But what he has decided is those who are able-bodied, yeah, he charges a little bit of money for doing lawn care. But say you happen to have what most people call disabilities, impairments, handicaps, but we just like to call inconveniences. But if you happen to have that or a disadvantage, he takes, and he doesn't even charge a dime. He came to mine and my wife's house, and we both having disadvantages. And we explained to him, you know, he asked us, hey, can I cut your lawn? Noticing how bad it was, I mean, it was a disaster. And I've got before pictures of the yard. It looked like a disaster hit the joint. And so I told him, explained to him, I wish I could pay you. But unfortunately, I don't have the money, because me and my wife are both on a fixed income due to disability. He says, I'm not here to charge you. I'll take care of it. And then find out, not only did he do it that week, he went through, not just cut the lawn. He took all the vines and trees, chopped them out of our back chain link fence. And anybody who knows about chain link fence, if you got trees growing up in it and vines and stuff, that's not no little small job. Pastor Bonnet will testify to this. And we're not talking, well, a fence only 5 foot long here. We're talking a fence that goes around a yard like 60 foot deep, 60 foot wide. So we're talking three sections of 60 foot fence. Okay? At least, okay? And so he took all of that and cleared that out. And then he had cut the lawn, and he did all of that, and then recently came by also as part of his thing. He trimmed our bushes, and then he climbed a ladder and cleared all of our gutters. I mean, it got them things running so good, a lot better than they've been running for the last 7 years. Because we hadn't had the ability to get up there and get those done. So, and then here's the interesting thing. Even if he has a paying job, he does not take the money for himself and go buy video games or albums or whatever, the fanciest new clothes that, you know, teenagers get into. Not one dime does he take for himself. Rather, he takes the money, takes it home, what money he does earn. He gives it to his parents, as Pastor Bonnet, here comes back to one of the verses Pastor Bonnet gave us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that your days may be long upon the earth. And he gives it to them to help them pay some of their loans and bills that they have to help them out. Now, we're talking 13 years old. Most kids at 13, in the teenage years, it's all about me, myself, and I, like that one song in the country and western genre. Want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one, oh me, oh my. But that's not this kid. We're talking total opposite, 180 degrees. And so when we interviewed the kid, we interviewed this Ian Nash on the Jumbo Braille program. But Six also mentioned about taking up an offering on the Sunday show for him. And I'll let Six, you take it from there.
Yeah, so I thought that was very commendable of him to do that, you know, not wanting anything in return. I thought that was pretty cool. So I'm going to definitely give a donation to help. If anybody listening, our listeners around the world, if you can give $10 to help $5, that would be good to give something to show not gone unnoticed that for 13, which I thought he was 14, that, you know, just a good act of kindness, you know. And it's my hope that he gets something for him. I mean, 13 and, you know, everything he makes, you know, he takes it home to his parents for their loans and stuff. But I still feel as a child, you got to have some type of youth. So that's just me. And I'm complete with that.
Okay, so Six, where do you want them to send the donations to?
Six Eyes Radio Network.
What did you say, Pastor Bonnet?
Oh, to you, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Yes, yes. They could send it to me. They can send it to my PayPal, my Cash App, or PayPal. And if you send it to Cash App, that would be $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in the 4 section, put donation for Enon, or just put Enon. And I will forward whatever's made for the donation over to Ken Wolfgang. And then he can get it to Enon. So that's how we'll do that. And if you use PayPal, the email address you'll enter is $SIXEYES, the numeric 6, at gmail.com. And the same section for memo of what the donation is for, put Enon. And once again, like I said, whatever is given will go to Wolfgang and given to Enon for his act of kindness. And with that, I'm complete.
And just to spell that name, I'll spell that name for everybody. It's I-N-A, 3 letters. I is an Indian, N is Nancy, A is Apple. Ian, that's how you spell it.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up because I thought it was E-N-I-N. So thank you.
No,
for that.
It's Ian, I-N-A. That's it, 3 letters.
And that's his whole name?
That's his first name. His last name is Nash, like, you know, like Johnny Cash, but you take out the C, put an N as Nancy, N-A-S-H.
Okay.
All right. Let me correct something real quick before you get too far. PayPal is S-I-X-E-Y-E-X-S, I'm sorry, the number 6, at gmail.com. And Cash App is $SIXEYES24.
What did I say?
Huh?
What did I say?
When you gave PayPal, you said $SIXEYES.
Oh my
the number
God.
6 at gmail.com.
Oh, okay.
No problem.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah, but I think that's pretty cool.
What he needs to do is have a sip or two of this coffee that Ruthie made me. This stuff is strong enough to roll up a window shade.
All right.
I got a new coffee, Brother Six. Since we're in the fellowship hall.
All right.
You have a new coffee by Maxwell House. You know, Folgers had the black silk that I talked about, enjoying that good bold flavor. But I love Maxwell House as the taste. And they came out with what's called dark silk. And so naturally I bought it, and it tastes good. So for a bold flavor that's not overpowering, that's smooth, and it tastes good. I'm not sure if I want to put it above the Black Silk, but they neck and neck. I love the Folgers Black Silk, but this dark silk from Maxwell House, pretty good. So I've been enjoying that since yesterday. In fact, since I got the Keurig, I'm going to go fix a cup right now.
All right. Well, I will be definitely adding that to the coffee. Yeah,
so I was surprised when I saw it.
Yeah,
we are coffee drinkers, y'all. The Bible, and we're in the Bible because there's a book called Hebrews. So we're in the Bible. So to all of y'all, that's not y'all. We're still in the book. He said he brews, so we brewing.
That's right. We make the coffee, and the women that love to drink coffee, we'll bring the coffee to you. That's a beautiful thing, man. You know, people that don't know how I got introduced to coffee was through my father's mother, which is my grandmother, and what we would do, she'd make me my sunny side up egg, two sunny side up egg, and I would have her save me some coffee. And in my mind, you know, I said, well, you know, she could save me a little bit more. You know, that's what I'm thinking, you know. And I would go and add water to the coffee thinking I'm making coffee. So she said, baby, she said, if you're going to drink coffee, you got to have your own coffee. I said, I got coffee right here. She said, no, baby, you just got water. So with that, she started into my own little individual cup. And when we would watch The Price is Right, the news, and then the stories, I would have my cup of coffee. And that's how I was introduced to coffee. Now, later on in the years, my brother, first time I was introduced to iced coffee, and I thought he was the craziest dude in the world. Because, first of all, it's nighttime, and we would normally have this gallon of concentrated syrup that my father would buy, and it would sit under the sink, and when you get ready to make punch, you just pour that syrup in there and add the water, and then you add the ice and put it in the pitcher and put it in the refrigerator to get cold. That's what I was used to drinking, you know. And then during that time, we had the Pepsi that came in the bottles, you know. And a lot of people who didn't use can openers, you could always tell when they used the cabinet handles to open up the bottles because you got some missing, you got some hanging. We didn't do that at our house, but when you went over to neighbors' house and family members' houses, you could tell who was opening up the pop bottles with the cabinet handles. Amen. If I threw a brick, I meant to hit you. So he was making coffee at night, and I was confused.
Put this on, and then you turn it.
I'm sorry?
I see you comment on something now. That was an accident.
Okay. So I was confused. It's nighttime, and this dude is making coffee at night, and then he pours it into the same pitcher we normally would have the juice in, and then he added the water. I mean, he added the ice. So that's the first time I was introduced to iced coffee. And so good, I took a glass of it to bed with me. You know, so we've been drinking coffee a long time around here, and we are coffee lovers here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. We normally would have a commercial play, but I don't know who's on the board. But definitely try Dark Silk, the new flavor by Maxwell House. Pastor Bonnie introduced me to Black Silk, the Folgers brand. And I think, and he introduced me to Bristello. Bristello coffee has been around since 1929. So that's a long time coffee has been around. And I tried that. It's a good coffee. It's strong. It's different. But I like that, Bristello. And I tell you another thing I like to eat with coffee. Now, I don't know if you all like coffee cake, but coffee cake is good.
That's the conference.
Amen.
Come on.
It is good.
Come on, talk to me. What did you say now?
It's very good.
Yes.
It's very good to have with it. Kind of fading away. That Pacello that I introduced you to, it's an espresso mix. So
okay, come on up. Turn your voice up.
So it's designed to be strong.
I wish your phone was.
Amen.
It sounds like you're in a tunnel right now.
Oh wow. Okay. Wow. You would.
May I for a minute?
Well, I mean,
I didn't get
it. We're frying chicken in the basement, and you know the Samson products, you know, aren't the best for, you know, such things. But you know, it's okay. Team Apple. All right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just gonna play the commercial because y'all won't let me get a word in. Dominating.
Come on, Queen.
Smell good ground coffee. That's Maxwell House coffee. Listen to the sound of the Maxwell House coffee pot at work. Because it's good ground Maxwell House. Maxwell House coffee is good to the last drop. Enjoy the rich, fresh taste of Maxwell House coffee. The ground coffee that tastes as good as it smells every time. Maxwell House.
All right. All right.
All right. And Six, I'm waiting on you to bring me my cup of coffee, please, sir. Thank you very much.
And while Six is doing that, remember I was talking about Ian? Well, we got a special little surprise for all of you.
Okay.
Ian.
Yeah.
There he is.
Well, hello, hey. Ian.
How's it going, buddy?
How's it going,
hello,
young man? Well, we just want to say God bless you. Thank you for doing that wonderful gesture of kindness for the Wolf Gangs. We pray God's blessing upon your life, that he will continue to open doors for you as you grow and develop in life. And so thank you for taking good care of them in their time of need. Thank you.
Yeah, that's real cool of you to do that. So how you been doing?
I've been doing good. Just finished up taking out some bushes for the neighbor.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So when you're out there working, what do you normally drink when you're out there working in the heat like this? What do you like to drink? Put it that way.
Water.
Just water?
Yeah.
Okay, no Gatorade, nothing like that?
Yep, just water.
Just water. Okay. Simple man. Okay.
Sometimes that's the best thing for you.
Okay.
Well, you definitely sound like an amazing young man. And
yeah.
We truly wish nothing but goodness to continue to fall upon you, and may you always be a blessing to others as God continues to bless you.
So have you started school yet?
Not yet. That's on the 23rd.
23rd, okay. And you got everything you need for school?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much got all your school supplies and everything, got your book bag, got you got all that?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's nothing you need?
No.
Okay, okay. That now see that's a special person right there. Well, yeah. I put it to you like that. Like this. Seem like you have all that you need, but if you do need anything, don't hesitate to get with us, and we'll make it happen, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
You too.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty awesome right there.
It is.
I know some people you ask that question, anything you need, and we'll be on here another 4 hours. So I think that's real commendable. You know, got everything you need for school. And doesn't want much, you know, just wants a simple water, you know, when he's working out in the yard. And that's
amen. Well, before we actually leave off the subject of coffee, I have a favorite of mine, and it's actually a Walmart brand, a great value brand, and it's the flavor of caramel pecan. It's a medium roast with sweet and nutty flavors, and it is so good.
Yeah, that's good. Caramel is real good. It's a flavor.
It is. It truly is.
Queen Nine, is that why you're sweet and nutty, too?
I'll take that. I'm always, you give me reason not to be, and then you see the nutty side.
All right.
So now we know why.
Yeah, we do.
Oh,
you've
yeah.
been drinking a lot of that coffee. That's why. There we go.
Yeah, I'm just naturally sweet and caramel with a little
all
nutty
right.
in me.
I just want to let you guys know that Ian left, and he's going home to a cookout.
All right. That's good. That sounds good. I go for some ribs myself. That's all right. I think another thing that's good with coffee is a peanut butter sandwich. That is good with coffee. I don't know if you all do that, but...
I want milk for that. I got to have milk. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I want milk.
Now, see, I'm just the opposite. I don't really drink a lot of milk unless I'm eating cereal. Not a fan of milk.
I am the milk baby. I love milk.
Okay.
Yes, Lordy. Every now and then I get a good craving for just plain milk. I go and get it. I'm the only one in the house that really drank it, so I can't buy a gallon because I get
well,
a half a gallon.
Well, then, Pastor Bonnet, me and you's going to be having a tug of war. Because I drink enough milk that I have to buy at least 6 gallons a month or more. Okay.
Oh, come on, man. There ain't no way.
I'm gonna let you have it. Once upon a time, I would drink a whole gallon myself, but I don't want it to go to waste.
Well, it wouldn't go to waste around me, I tell you that.
Wolfgang,
So you're telling me it's only 4 weeks in a month. So you're telling me you go through 6 gallons of milk?
Oh, yeah. You got to figure there's me and Ruth together, but 6 gallons in a month is easily go through that.
I don't even go through a gallon of milk in a month.
Well, that's because you said you're not much of a milk drinker, but I'm a milk drinker. Get me a tall, one of the big tall glasses, fill that up. And
you know what I can't say? You know what I can't say? This is why when I go over people's houses, if it's not in a can, I'm very hesitant of whose house I'll drink after, because I cannot stand. You know where I'm going with this, Bonnie? I cannot stand when people go in the refrigerator and they just turn the jug or whatever it is, carton, jug,
turn it up,
bottle. You want some help? No. No, excuse me. H double hockey stick, no. Oh, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I just don't want your back washed.
That's right. At all. Then they say, well, I did back wash. I had it above my mouth. I just let it.
I don't even do it at my house. And it's just me. But I tell you, when I was at the house and my niece, my oldest niece was there, I said, okay. I give the benefit of the doubt. I said, okay. But then she stepped away from the cabinet to get a glass. Okay, so I took note of that. Next thing, I see the youngest niece do it. And then I see the older, I said, no. I said, from now on, if I don't bring it in the house and I can't hear it pop or pull that tab, I'll be like Eamon, drinking water. I cannot stand that.
Yeah, that's kind of disgusting. Or I'll give you another one. Somebody goes in the bathroom and uses the mouthwash, but they want to turn the bottle up. Come on, don't do that.
Another thing, I don't want the teeth falling in the bottle.
They said it cleans your mouth. The antiseptic is supposed to break the germs right there. So, but if the antiseptic is supposed to be good, then it should kill the germs. Any bike wash germs, you know, I think you should be all right.
Well, it's an antiseptic, but when I go to rinse my mouth out, I don't want to be rinsing and have teeth in my mouth, aside from my own.
Oh, jeez. No, I just get your own bottle. I'm not.
I don't care.
It will kill the germs. I don't want to share like this.
There's another thing I can't stand. Now, listen, anybody know me know I love chips. And I cannot stand. Now, I'm listening for everything. Somebody go to use my loo. They go to use the loo. They come out, I'm listening. I don't hear no water running. Okay? And these people come out the bathroom, no water running. They just left the bathroom, and they talking. Oh, such and such.
You got handcuff towels in there? You got handcuff towels in the bathroom?
No, not in the bathroom, but there's hand soap right on the sink. Antibacterial hand soap right on the sink. There's hand sanitizer right on the island when you go to the kitchen. It's right there. But I can't stand when they come out the bathroom talking, oh, man, such and such, such and such, such and such.
Now, I know I'm sitting on the couch. I know where the chips are, and they're not next to me. So if I hear that, oh, such, crinkle, 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 and they hand goes in that bag, yeah, you want some? No. You sure? Yeah, man, look, I ate a whole bag last night watching TV. Yeah, you go ahead. You sure? Yeah. Go right ahead. That's yours. Because I'm not going to eat them.
If you share chips, you're supposed to pull you some out.
Thank you. I can't stand that. And listen,
no double dipping.
I can't stand that. I cannot stand that.
Put some on your own plate if you want to double dip. Then you dip all you want.
Yeah, if somebody's eating salsa and chips, I make sure I have my own little separate salsa, and that's it. I cannot stand that. I can't tell you. I don't give chips away. I'll give you a steak before I give you, I love my chips. You know, a steak is going overboard. I'll give you a hamburger patty. I'll give you a hamburger patty before I give you a bag of chips. But, man, I can't stand that. I can't tell you how many bags of chips I gave away because somebody come out of that bathroom talking. And then,
No.
I had a bag last night. You go ahead and get that. You show me? Yeah. You go right ahead. That's yours.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Now we know how to get good donations from you.
That's right. That's right. I can't stand it.
Me neither, Six. I can't stand that mess. If you're going to go in and use the bathroom, wash your hands and sterilize them before you go touching my food.
Yeah. I can't stand it. And cleanliness is next to godliness. But they say there's nowhere in the Bible, but that's what they say. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, so cleanliness.
Well, the idea is in the Bible, but the actual words are not.
That's correct.
Okay. Excellent. And pray for our former president, Mr. Donald Trump. He has some situations going on going back to the 2020 election and the insurrection where he tried to secure votes, and now he has to go to court on that. So keep him in prayers. Yeah.
Well, all I know is the book says agree with your adversary quickly, or they'll take you before the judge, and you shall not be delivered until you pay the utmost price. So that's all I know now. That's all I know.
Now he wants to go biblical. Like, try to sit here quiet, and I'm sorry, Mr. Trump, how you doing? I'm fine, success. But you have these pastors on here. And I'm under enough stress already. I understand that. Please.
Touch his mind. Touch his heart. Save him.
And I'll
deliver him.
Thank you. And also, let's pray for the Maui victims, praying for the loss of life over there. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to the family at this difficult time for the lives lost over in Maui. Also praying for the survivors and the rebuilding of Maui, which is going to take several years to rebuild. And we laid our friend Tony to rest on Saturday. And the people I set behind me had just got back from Maui a week prior to the tragedy in Maui. So we just want to say continued prayers, to the people over at Maui, for the people in California who's going through Hurricane Hillary. We just pray that there's no casualties there. And if they tell you to evacuate, evacuate.
because they don't just tell you to leave for you know, just telling you to leave. You know, we don't have hurricanes here, thank God. But if they said to evacuate, that's what I'm going to do. I'll be taking trumpet, and we're getting out of here. Anything
hey,
else?
If there was a national disaster where you had to leave your home and the probability of you coming back and everything being as it is was slim to none, and they say you could take three things with you and only three things, what three things would you get?
I'm taking my Bible. I'm taking the picture of my father and trumpet.
Okay. And your physical trumpet, okay.
Yeah, no,
you
no,
can
no,
entertain
no.
The people.
My son.
The cat, okay. Yeah, I got a picture of the cat.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Same thing. Queen, not
that,
same
that
thing.
Was my you cat. His cat is an orange tabby.
Oh, that's right. You said you couldn't catch her. She wouldn't stay still. same question, Queen. If you can only take three things.
Mm-hmm.
There was a natural disaster, and it was probability next to impossible for your home to be in any shape for recovery, and you can only take three things with you. What three things that you have of your own that you would take with you?
My Bible, my baby diamond, and probably my cell phone because I couldn't carry all the pictures. And hopefully I'll have on the necklace my grandmother gave me over 30-some years ago.
Well, I would take my Samsung tablet, my Samsung cell phone, my cell phone earplugs, along with their cables. Mr. Apple, you don't like Apple that much. Because you didn't take Siri nowhere.
So we be trying to find you.
We be sending up smoke flares and everything. Have y'all seen this person? Have y'all seen this person? We have to come and find you.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to put an Apple AirTag on him.
I didn't think about communication. Wow.
But you saw I said my cell phone.
My Bible's in my tablet on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of that. Notes, all of that stuff.
Well, Pastor Bonnie, you didn't say nothing about taking First Lady.
Yeah. She gonna be with me no matter what. She gonna bring her phone. She gonna bring her little dog. The two dogs, they gonna bring three things. Everybody gonna bring three.
Yeah. You know what you just did in 1983. So when my grandmother passed, she had a Bible for us. And she didn't get a chance to fill it out. So genius here put two, and it was supposed to be to me from Mary, which is my grandmother. Genius put two Mary from
you.
Yeah. So that, you know, genius. Yeah. That was in 1983. And I still got that Bible. So that's why that Bible, even though I have the digital Bible on my phone, that meant something because my grandmother gave me that. So that's That's why I would take that. Yeah. So yeah, so that's what genius did.
You know, because like my charger, I can charge all my devices at one time.
Mm-hmm. And shifting gears, if you are a landlord, if you are a landlord and you rent, make sure you get references and make sure you get first and last month's rent. You know, Pastor Bonnet, if you worked for the state, okay, you worked for the state, there's no hold up, there's no kind of issue. If you work for the state, your checks are issued from the state, and normally there shouldn't be a hold up, correct?
Correct. I believe so.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. No further questions.
They're not going to be putting a stamp from another country on your checks either.
They better not.
See? Now that right there says it all. Wow. Okay.
They better not. You got some scams out there.
So needless to say, like I said, if you are a landlord, make sure you get references. Make sure you check their track record of paying their rent. And listen for the stories. Listen for the stories, because they get pretty outrageous. I mean, you got people stealing your check while the daughter's in the shower. We'll talk off air, Pastor Bonnet. the stories get pretty creative.
Well, you know, we stay in a we live in a world that is money driven.
Mm-hmm.
And people do the darndest of things for money or the things that requires money. You have parents that took their children Social Security card and opened up accounts and charged those accounts up and didn't pay them. So the children are 18, 19 years old, having to defend their credit because their credit is messed up because of what a family member have done to them for having access to their credit card. I mean, to their Social Security number, rather. And so they're struggling, and so that chaos lead to other chaos because they're not able to do things. So they lead to dishonor, less than reputable ways to inquire some basic needs that they need. And so you gotta, you know, pretty much like in my message, you know, parents got a parent.
Uh-huh.
You know, children abuse is more than just beating a child till they have broken skin, bruises. There's
uh-huh.
more to that than a children abuse. You have verbal abuse, any type of chastisement without information, proper information, that's abuse. That can be abuse because if you're punishing a child, regardless to how minor it is, if they have no understanding, then that's not just. And then when you are not bringing up that child, the Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. And it's your job as a parent to raise the
child up in the fear and respect of who God is. Once they get to a certain mm-hmm. age, you can't live saved for them, but you can encourage them to be saved. You can encourage them to build their own relationship with God. But you're
right.
not responsible no more, because now it's their choice, just like it was our choice. And so once they reach that age of accountability where they can make sound decisions of left and right, right and wrong, then you have to – but that's why you have to train them early. And then they must see you have it. I think if a bad parent tell you, ooh-wee, it's some good marijuana. Don't you do this, boy. Don't you do this. It ain't good for you. You just said we're good. Every day I see you, you smoking it. Now you're going to tell me not to smoke. We have to lead by example. And even if that example, maybe you didn't finish high school, but you encourage your kids to go to high school so that they can have greater opportunities that you didn't have. But you don't promote your failure as something to be a badge or honor.
Mm-hmm.
You share with them, hey, this is what I done wrong with my life. This is how I tried to adjust. And I want you to have better opportunities. And do your best to give them those better opportunities. So this generation, and so many parents nowadays say, well, I want me and my child to be best friends. Your child is not your best friend. If your child is your best friend, you have a problem that your children can't fix, because mm-hmm. they're not your peers.
Right.
Your child was not designed to be your best friend. Ain't nothing wrong with you having a good, fun relationship with your children. But they are not your best friend. If they're your best friends, you won't have no friends.
That's right. Well, got somebody I want to introduce you to. Say hello.
Hey, hello.
Hello. Who we have? What's your name?
Chanson. Chanson Gibson.
Hello, Chanson.
Chanson.
How you doing?
Well, good. Were you able to hear some of the show?
Huh?
Was you able to hear some of the message today?
Oh, no, not today. I didn't hear it, no.
Okay. Well, It is on demand, and when you go to on demand, you can fast forward a little bit to the take liberty at some point in time when you have some to go back and listen to the message, and hopefully it'll bless you and encourage you. We'll be back on tomorrow night. Sis can give you the information, but. We'd like to invite you there this evening. Also, they'll be having the Bible reading this evening on the second program. And so, but wanted to always just welcome you to the 6 Eyes Radio Network. God bless you.
Thank you. Same as you.
Amen.
And speaking of Bible reading, when are we doing the Bloodhound?
Well, right now.
Right now.
Right now.
I was just making sure you're all ready. Okay, so here we go.
Wolfgang, come on down with the Bloodhound of Scripture. Come on down.
Ye are the light of the world.
a city that is set on an hill cannot be hid.
Now, you notice it says we are the light of the world. But what do we do with that light? Let's see what God's word says we're supposed to do. We'll hear that verse one more time.
Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on an hill cannot be hid.
Now you notice it says we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill. Now if a city is on top of a hill, that just set on a hill, will it be hid? No. Try taking a lantern flashlight, sitting on top of a shelf, turning it on in the middle of the night. Walk away, and then walk back in the room and see how hard it is for you to see if it's lost. Not likely. But stuff it under a bed with a dust ruffle? Yeah. Well, then it might be, even if it's on, it might have a little problem being found, unless the dust ruffle is kind of thin and the light shows through, but it might have a little problem being found. That's why God says, you are the light of the world. We're supposed to be shining out there as a bright beacon. What? On a hill? And not being hit. And we'll hear that verse one last time for our listeners' sake.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid.
All right.
Okay, anybody know where that's at?
Matthew 5:14.
And you both got it that time exactly at the same time. Ding, ding, ding.
And you both win a coffee cake from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Little Debbie's Coffee Cakes, great for your coffee and your tea. Little Debbie's Coffee Cakes, which one of you? Congratulations. Now back to the Six
Good
Eyes
job.
Radio Network. Hey, Fig.
And now for the verse you
got to
sniff out by next week. Here it is.
For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Do you notice here? He says, he is the Lord, he changes not. Another place in the Bible, he says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we'll hear that verse once again.
For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
And you notice, because he's the Lord and doesn't change, he says, therefore, ye sons of Levi, Jacob, ye sons of Jacob, excuse me, you are not consumed. You are not consumed, ye sons of Jacob, because he doesn't change, because his love is everlasting. And we'll hear that verse one last time for our listeners' sake.
For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
And that's what you have to sniff out by next Sunday here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, Six Eyes Gospel Show. And right now we're frying chicken in the basement here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, Pastor Bonnie, you were going to say something to me?
Yeah, do you take your coffee cakes and dip it into your coffee?
Do I drink my coffee weak?
No. Tell Siri to stop talking while I'm talking. Do you take your coffee donuts or your coffee cakes and dip them into your coffee and eat it that way? Or
oh,
do you just
no,
eat
no.
and
no, 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 no.
I mean,
no,
you,
no.
You got to dip it. See, your food ain't saved. It ain't been baptized. You got to baptize it, man.
You know, the one time I tried that, the whole Excuse me. The one time I tried that, the whole pastry fell into the coffee, and it was disgusting. So I no.
It's a dip, man. It's not. You can't treat it like a murder victim. You can't just put it under water and keep it down. It's a dip. It goes down, come back up.
So what I do, I bite the coffee cake and I have a little sip of the coffee. That's how I do it.
I want you to try the next time. Just get your knife firm. Make sure it's firm now.
Okay.
Dip it one time and then try it. See if it tastes better for you.
Okay.
I like to doing that with. I can do that with my coffee or my milk. Special cake donut.
Right. I'm gonna try that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna make a fresh pot of coffee later on, and I'm gonna try it. I might even go live and drink coffee.
Now while
Trumpet is asleep, I'm gonna be walking around here, seeing what he's been up to. See if I got anything knocked over. Because Trumpet is up at night while I'm asleep. He's up. He's running around. And he plays at night. Now, right now, we could be up hanging out, and he's asleep. So, his day is nighttime.
Well, all I can say is Trumpet is the peekaboo cat. he plays peekaboo. He will not come out and let you pet him, but he'll peek around the corner at you. That's the peekaboo cat.
Well, he comes out to eat us. He definitely comes out to eat.
Out to eat, but he ain't gonna let you touch him. And the whole time he's eating, you could be right there, but he's not gonna let you touch him. And if you move the wrong way, he is moving. Peekaboo.
My son had a cat like that.
You know,
we don't say, man, why did you get a cat? We dog people. You got a cat, and he gave his reason. Somebody, one of his friends, whatever. But that cat was so funny acting. And sometimes I could be sitting up front and watching. He'll ease out the room and he'll come in and get up under the we got the entertainment stand, and he'll get up under there, lay on his back. I say, you act like you want somebody to rub you, but if I stand up, you're going to run. And sure enough, if I stand up, he looks up. If I take one step towards him, he like, man, I'm just chilling like you. Then you land back. They say, you stay over there, let me stay over here. Then I'm like, I go back to my room. And he gone back. I said, come down. Man, he go get up under the bed. I said, you a weird cat.
Trump is interesting. He's interesting. He has stepped up on the bed twice and stood on it. But that's about it. So we still haven't met yet. Hey, what's up? We haven't split a Coke yet. So when that happens, I'll let you know. But
now if I went in the room and to go feed her, cause my son would be gone, and she got on up there. I put water in a bowl and put some food in there. Man, she ain't got no problem coming towards me then.
Right.
She'll wait till I move, but she ain't like,
Yes, yeah, she said, I see you, now, now watch out.
Yeah.
Watch on
out
now.
Yeah, so they say to let him meet me on his own terms. So I'm, you know, he knows he's safe, you know, he knows he's loved. But like I said, he's still, you know, figuring out the lay of the land. And, you know, we're making progress. But one thing, you know, since I've got anticipating Trump's arrival, which I got him August 5th. So he is, what is that, 2 weeks and 2 weeks and 6 days.
2 days.
So,
okay.
He's happy. But what I've been doing is, like, learning all about cats. So I've been watching these different cat documentaries, different things that annoy the cat, you know, things that make them happy. You know, they don't like loud noises. They don't like loud music. They don't like, you know, you got to have an even, when you call them, they can tell the difference between an elevated voice and a calm voice. You know, they don't like to, they don't like to be bothered, you know, while they're eating. They say, well, you don't want nobody bothering you while you're eating. You know, make sure that their litter box is clean. You know, and it all makes sense because you want to go to a clean bathroom, so do they. You know, so
you want a clean dish to eat out of, so do they.
Correct.
You don't like to be disturbed when you're asleep, so do they.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Let me give you another one that I found out. They don't necessarily recognize their owners or their person.
I think they are.
They recognize your scent and your voice.
Well, I mean, so would I give one of my shirts?
What'd you say?
What I do, give one of my shirts and let them sleep with it?
I don't know. Well, you said he got in there and stood on you. Maybe he's getting her scent.
He's not standing on me.
Why not? You don't know if he's sniffing you or not.
Well, I don't know. You know. I'm gonna have somebody document this, you know, stick some stuff in, you know, and we go through our day. So I think that'll be pretty cool. But he's a cool cat. I'm glad he's here, and like I said, we'll be hanging out and we'll be splitting the coke real soon.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, he's
about the Lord's will.
Yeah. He's about, he should be close to 10 pounds now because he definitely can eat. He was like 7-something when I got him, so he should be close to 10 or maybe 11 pounds now. He's been good. He has a good appetite. But
he hasn't gained that much weight. He was about 7 pounds.
Okay, thank you, veterinarian Carrington. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
So they say do not give your cat tuna. Now, when I had Six O'Hara, I gave Six O'Hara tuna, and she loved it. But they said don't give them tuna because it's bad for their heart. So if you are a cat owner, do not give your cat. And also, when I grew up and watched Tom and Jerry, I always seen them give the cat milk. So in my mind, I was prepared to give Trumpet milk because that's what I saw on TV, association. So they say you don't give cat milk.
You see, that's why you have to be mindful of what your children are watching because they believe anything. Like this one here believed that Calgon would take his mother away.
See, you didn't have to go there. Yeah, so passing by it, I don't know if I told you the story, but now, All for America, When my mother was younger, you know, and I was little, so she had to be like in her 30s, because I was little, and she had Calgon. Now, during this time, Calgon came in a little box with a little spout, and all I remember is that commercial where the kids are arguing. She's like, "Calgon, take me away," and you see all that pretty blue water. She gets sucked down that drain. So in my mind, I'm pouring out the Calgon because I didn't want her to get sucked down the drain. So my father said, "What's going on with all the Calgon? What's going on around here?" So they found out that I was pouring out the Calgon. So I told Mom, I said, "Look, I said, Mom, I said, I'm grown now. I said, but I owe you a lot of Calgon." "Well, what do you mean, son?" I said, "Well, Mama, I used to pour your Calgon out because I didn't want you to get sucked down the drain. Because the commercials say, Calgon, take me away." So in my mind, I was saving her. "Oh, son, you don't owe me any Calgon. You saved Mama." "Yes, ma'am." She was very happy. She was very happy. Yep.
Six, can I ask you and Queen Knight and Pastor Bonnet a real good question?
Sure.
Have any of the three of you ever known a cat that likes water?
Well, that's all they drinks. I haven't given them that much of water.
If I told you what my one cat used to do, you'd be like, "No way." The one cat I had growing up, this crazy cat, every time I drew my tub of bath, went to draw a tub of bath water. And then I had one as an adult when I lived in Kentucky. And both these goofy cats, if I did not shut the bathroom door while I was drawing a tub of water, both these cats would go airborne and jump into my tub of bath water and swim around in the water.
Wow.
Yeah, and then if I go to dry even one of them off, they smack at me or try to bite me.
Now, according to the videos I watched, they say cats are pretty much self-cleaning. And they don't like to be wet because they feel like they're weighed down.
Oh. Well, that shows you my cats were odd.
Yeah, they say each cat's got their own little personality. Now, Diamond, her little butt, I go visit her, and she will not let you up. She will put her little weight on you, and you're not getting up. She's serious.
She does. You like it.
Yeah.
But when I leave her, she meows the whole time, from my understanding.
Yeah.
Right, Diamond?
When I come there to feed her, she's at the door meowing.
Aww.
I come in there, I feed her, I sit with her.
Yeah, she got used to him when I was in the hospital.
Yeah, we even fell asleep. I get ready to get up. I try to sneak off and meow, meow. I sit back down. She stretch out. And
3:30 appointment.
Fall asleep again. What time you got to be there?
3:30.
Okay.
All
right.
That's Pastor Allen.
All right, well, I guess we're going to get ready to get out of here. I want to thank everybody who tuned in to the Six Eyes Radio Network, the best in online radio, the Six Eyes Radio Network. If you haven't done so already, go join the Six Eyes Radio Network group. Feel free to post up there cool stuff. If you have cats, post a picture of your cat up there. You know, anything that's cool, we can use. So God bless. Thank you all for joining us here tomorrow at 8 Central. 9 p.m. Eastern and what's that, 6 Pacific, is Motivational Monday with our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, the powerful message you don't want to miss. Put this number on your phone, 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617. Also, the second number, 515-605-9340.
Hey, God bless.
Have a blessed Sunday, everyone.
God bless.